Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Diva Strategies for Success. I'm so happy to have you with us today, and we have an amazing guest. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Randy D. Ward is a book coach, editor, 37-year veteran Georgia English educator, international bestseller author, holistic emotional intelligence, Harmony Life Coach, NLP Practitioner, Communication Mastery Certified Person, International Speaker, World Travelers for 60 Countries, African Animal Advocate, and former owner of Rise Up and 6 October Nursery Egypt. Awards include TAOTPS, Female Visionary, Hall of Fame, Educator of the Decade, 2020, She Inspires Me, 2020, Woman of the Year, Language, Arts, and Writing, Top 100 Registry, 2020, Marshall University Star Alumni, Red Blazer and White Blazer Awardee and Crown Recipient by All Women Rock, 2020, Beautiful Survivors Award, Service Hero Awardee, and honored by TWLA, NAPW, TAW, Global Achievers Club exclusive, Marquez, Who's Who, and other groups, and featured in newspapers, magazines. Her projects are Honorary President of World Peace Forest, Africa, Egypt, USA Regional Director, ANC Kenya, Lion Encounter, Zimbabwe, Writer-Editor, Chemo Buddies for Life e-magazine, editor-writer, Morocco Pens, and USA advisor for TVS. She is a member of WWCA, We Are the Change, LOANI, and WPN. She will receive an honorary doctorate of humanitarianism in June 2021. Her memoir book is Because I Believed in Me, My Egyptian Fantasy Come True. She has short stories, poems, and articles in anthologies, magazines, blogs, and has received many writing awards. Welcome, Dr. Randy Ward. I'm so happy to have you with us today. How are you?
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you today, and thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you, Robbie. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you the last few weeks. I'm glad that one of our personal friends, Carl Wilson, connected us, and so that's a blessing in my life. Thank you so much, and it's such a great pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you.
Well, I'd like you to start by telling us about your 37-plus years as an American educator.
Okay, well, I've taught in two states. I started out, I'm formerly from West Virginia, so my first 18 years were taught in West Virginia at junior high level. And then I moved to Metro Atlanta, Georgia in 1989, excuse me, and taught the last 19 years there. And being a language arts teacher, it's not just English. I had to teach grammar, American and British lit, drama, public speaking, journalism, writing of all kinds, including research writing. But I also, in the 1970s, was one of the gifted pioneer teachers in West Virginia. It was called TAG back in those days, Talented and Gifted. And we actually were the first group of teachers to teach it in my state of Georgia. And we created the programs for future teachers at my alma mater, Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. Throughout my career, I have taught grades 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. When I came to Georgia, I was on the high school level. And I finally retired after 37 years in 2008. And, Robbie, it wasn't because I didn't love teaching. I loved teaching. In fact, my last year was one of the best years I ever had. It was just 37 years. And I thought, I want to do something else. But that was not a good decision for me, because you don't take somebody like me with energy, like the Energizer Bunny, and say, okay, now go and sit home and do nothing. I could not do that. I became very unhappy. I found that I had no purpose, lost my desire to do anything. And I even tried to volunteer for things, and believe it or not, nobody wanted any volunteers. It was kind of strange to me that nobody wanted volunteers. But then something amazing happened, and it has to do with Egypt.
Yeah, you ended up, you taught English as a second language in Cairo, Egypt, during the revolution in 2011 and 12. Can you tell us how that happened and what you experienced while living and teaching there?
Well, my son said, Mom, why don't you join Facebook? Well, I wasn't really a social media person. Facebook was relatively new. But I decided, okay, maybe that's a good idea. It'll give me some interaction with other people. So I joined Facebook and got an opportunity from one of my Facebook friends to teach at a center called Spread Your English. It was for young adults teaching English as a second language. Well, I went to Egypt in May 2011. This was just several months after the first revolution in Egypt had ended. Egypt was a mess. The economy was terrible. There was no government. You know, everything was just in turmoil. But I went there to go to a wedding. Ironically, I never met the girl and didn't go to her wedding. Ended up staying at a hotel for a month. But I did go to the school, and I decided after seeing some of the new teachers teaching there that Randy could do better than that. It wasn't that I was vain about my teaching. It's just after 37 years, I kind of knew a few tricks about teaching kids. So I went home and I thought, do I really want to do that? Egypt is kind of a mess right now. Do I really want to teach in an unstable country? Well, the more I thought about it, the more challenging, the more exciting it became. And against my husband and my son's wishes, in fact, they were adamant about me not going, on November 3rd, 2011, I boarded a plane by myself headed for Egypt. Ironically, 1 week after I got there, Robbie, the second revolution in Egypt began, and I was living three blocks from Tahrir Square, the center of the revolution. For the next 3 months, because I had a three-month contract, I was surrounded by protesters all the time. I was tear gassed. One night in December 2011, one half block from the flat that I was living in, I listened to a six-hour gun battle during the night. I listened to 12 people die and 120 people get injured. It was terrifying for them, but not for me. For some strange reason, I was not afraid for me, but I did cry all night because I knew people were dying and getting hurt. All of a sudden, there was silence. I had to get up and go to teach. I had not slept, but I had to get ready to go to school to teach. It was a Saturday. So I ventured outside thinking, what am I going to find? I went up to the street where the protesting had been. It was completely surrounded by barbed wire, but there were no people, no trash, no sign of any kind of violence except for the barbed wire. I went in the other direction, got on the metro, and went to school and taught that day. I was not the best teacher that day, I have to admit. My students knew what had happened because it was all over the news, and they were more of a comfort to me than I was that day. But I taught young adults, university students and professionals. I was teaching engineers and doctors and lawyers. English is the second language. And Robbie, I mean, I love teaching American students, but this was probably the greatest teaching experience of my entire life because the educational systems in Egypt are not as advanced as they are in the United States. And I heard from all of these young adults, you're the best teacher we've ever had. And I said, you've only had me for 6 weeks. And I said, why is that? Because you teach with love. And I think that's the secret of any good teacher. You can teach content, you can teach, you know, facts and all that, but if you don't teach with love, the students are not going to learn. They have to know that you care about them. So these students said, we knew that you cared about us. Our professors don't care about us. They tell us, read this page, read this chapter, we'll test you on it. So I came back after, in February, I came back to the United States. A really different person. I had to learn also to become an Egyptian woman. And not speaking Arabic, and I still don't speak much. I know a few phrases, but that's it. Not being able to read Arabic, not, you know, not knowing any of the culture, not being a Muslim. I had to learn how to do all of these things, Robbie. It was so hard at times. My students would help me. But eventually I'm thinking, I can't have everybody come and help me every time I need help. So I had to learn to become independent and live on my own. In fact, they even gave me a name, a nickname. My new Egyptian name is Reri, R-E-R-E. So I became Egyptian Reri. And I learned to find, when I had problems, you know, doing things in Egypt, I would find somebody that spoke English, usually a university student, that I would go over and say, hey, can you help me? And they were so kind and so wonderful, but they were struggling. And the place was filthy. Because, again, there was no government, no security, no stability. I mean, I've never seen a country that was so unstable. And as you mentioned earlier, I had been in 60 countries, so I was, you know, used to being around the world. But this was very different. Those other 60 countries, I was a tourist staying in 4- and 5-star hotels. This was a flat that nothing in it worked, and I was paying a small fortune for it because as a tourist and an American, they charged me more. But I had to learn to adapt to all that. And Robbie, when I came back to the United States, believe me, I was so appreciative to be an American and have my lifestyle. But it did give me a new insight on what other people in the world have to go through and how they struggle. And so because of that, I wrote my first book. This started my second career.
Yeah, so tell us about what you wrote.
Well, as you said earlier, it's because I believed in me, my Egyptian fantasy came true. As I said, I'd taught writing for all those years, but I'd never written a book. But this story needed to be told. And I had a Facebook contest. The reason the title was so long, two Egyptians named it. I had like 100 people enter the contest, but two Egyptians actually named it. One of them said, because I believed in me. The other one said, my Egyptian fantasy came true. I wanted to be about Egypt. I wanted to be about me. So I combined the two. And my cover was actually designed by a real Egyptian artist friend. It's me sitting on a camel with weird little legs and weird little legs with the three great pyramids behind me. And I also put 153 pictures in my book. Even though I'm an English teacher and words are important, I know many people are visual. So I put 153 pictures in my book to tell my story. There's an interesting story about this, too. My son, who is the art director for Reader's Digest in Germany, he's married to a German girl, is the reason he's there, told me there were 45 pictures that I had gotten from my friends from their cameras. And, you know, phone cameras back in those days were not really good quality, and you have to have 300 DPI for publication. My son said, these are not good pictures. You can't publish them. My publisher said, we can't raise the DPI. You ready? This is where believing in yourself and believing anything is possible comes into play. A 15-year-old Egyptian genius who was a friend of mine said, Randy, let me see what I can do. He took those 45 pictures, Robbie, and in 45 minutes, the DPI was raised on every single one of them, and they are in my book, and you cannot tell the difference from those and the others that had the correct DPI.
Wow,
so,
that's wonderful.
This is part of my life philosophy of dreaming bigger and reaching for the stars and believing that anything is possible, and that was a perfect example of it.
Well, in 2020, you started career number 3 as a coach and editor. How did that happen?
Well, okay. It's kind of a sad story. We know that 2020 was a horrible year, okay, for all of us because of the pandemic. But in 2019, on December 15th, I lost my husband. We had been together for 48 years. I put him in the hospital on November 14th with double pneumonia, which was bad enough. But I never expected him not to come home. They did every test they could. They tried every treatment. Nothing was working. They couldn't decide whether it was bacterial, viral, or environmental, but nothing was working. I had gone to Las Vegas to receive my Female Visionary of the Year award from International Association of Top Professional. Bill wanted me to do this. My son had come from Germany, so he was with his dad. On December the 6th, they did a lung biopsy, telling me not to worry at all about this. It'll be fine. I'm sitting in a cocktail party at the Bellagio Hotel. My son calls me and says, they don't expect Dad to make it. Well, I was devastated, of course. But the next morning, he woke up, Robbie, fine, saying, and the first thing he said to my son was, what day is it? When Mark told him it was Saturday, he goes, oh, no, I forgot to send your mother roses. So Bill encouraged me to stay until Monday. That was the time I was going to come home. When I got home on Monday, December the 9th, I was informed that the lung biopsy had showed that he had cancer.
Wow.
On December the 13th, at like 4 o'clock in the morning, he had an episode. It was either a small stroke or a heart attack. We're not sure what happened. But because of that, they put him on a CPAP machine and with 100% oxygen. And every time he moved a finger or slightly moved, his oxygen levels would just drop, okay? So that Sunday, they told us there was absolutely no hope. He would not survive. No treatment was going to work. He was too far gone. So together, because he was still conscious, we made the decision instead of having him suffocate to death or have a heart attack or a stroke that would kill him and he would suffer, that we would just reduce the oxygen and he would go to sleep and never wake up. Well, those first few months, of course, we were shut into our house, and I have a St. Bernard, no family because my son's in Germany. It was devastating. I grieved a lot. But then in March, the end of March, in fact, I was on a Women's Prosperity Network teleconference call with Dr. Heather Tucker, who was this coach, and she was offering this coaching class. And I thought to myself, this is a message from God because this sounds fascinating to me. I had taught through teaching. I had taught through writing. This was another way, another platform for me to get my message out and to help people. So I called her on the phone because she left her number on the, you know, the teleconference. And within an hour, I signed up for this class. And from April to July 1st, I became a Life Harmony coach, holistic emotional intelligence coach, NLP practitioner, and communications mastery certified person. It was
wow.
Like a message from God saying, Randy, you can't sit there and grieve your life away. You're a strong woman. This is not what Bill would want you to do. He made you promise on his deathbed to be strong and move forward, and you're not doing that. So this was kind of like my reawakening, my chance to move forward and to continue to dream bigger. So then I decided, okay, what kind of coach do I want to be? This is when I decided use my talents as an English teacher and become a visionary book writing consultant coach because I can teach people how to write those stories that they don't really know how to do. And then I could write a grammar book, Robbie. I know where every comma, every sentence, I can correct every possible mistake in English language, okay? I'm good at it. So I thought, okay, I can also offer editing services. So this is what I'm doing now, and I'm loving it.
That's wonderful. So what are the biggest factors in some of your success habits that have helped you in your career life?
Okay, well, I would say my life philosophy. Anytime I have a down moment, and we all have them, I go back and I think my copyrighted quote is actually, believe, don't dream big, dream bigger, the sky is the limit, so reach for the stars. I actually have that on a poster, and if I have a moment of, you know, thinking I can't do this, which is rare, by the way, I just read that and go, okay, Randy, refocus. I think having traveled to 60 countries has also made me successful because I understand how the world operates a little better than a lot of people, and I understand people of all nations and religions and cultures, so it helps me to be able to write about this. In fact, with the novel that I'm going to publish this year, travels to like 10 countries, and I've been in all of them but two, and so I've used my experiences to, even though it's fiction, but I'm incorporating real things about the countries in my novel, okay? I also know that it's important to connect with like-minded people, such as you. You know, we can't do this alone. No man is an island. We need to connect with people, learn from their mistakes so we don't make the same ones. I always challenge myself every day. I force myself to get online and learn something new. I research something new because even though I'm a teacher, I'm always an eternal student. And I'm so happy that I've stayed that way, that I think learning is still the essence of who we are. We have to learn, okay? And I love to ask questions. Even when I go to the doctor's office, I ask questions. What are you doing? What is this machine? You know, everywhere I go, asking questions. acquiring more knowledge. I'm also a huge risk taker. And I don't mean things that are dangerous, even though people might think going to Egypt to teach during a revolution might have been dangerous. I didn't think of it as dangerous, but we have to take risk. We have to get out of our comfort zone, or we're never going to be able to do anything different. If we all just said, oh, I can do this, this is easy, then we never experience anything new. Even being an editor to me, is, even though I'm good at it, it's a new experience because I'm working with people and their books or their passions now, and I have to make sure that I make their book the way they want it to be. So this is a challenge for me. And the fact that I never give up. I've been through a lot in my life. I didn't walk for 5 years of my life when I was a teenager from 15 to 20 because of a knee problem that was very serious. The doctors told me I'd never walk again. Barabi, I taught myself. It took a year, but I taught myself. I had a horrible car accident in 2014. 8 months of physical therapy, broke my neck, 8 broken bones, 4 trauma doctors, 18 days in the hospital. That's when I wrote that 400-page novel that I'm going to publish this year. I never give up. I can always find a way to, you know, get over my difficulties. In fact, instead of sitting here feeling sorry for myself when I was in so much pain during that 8 months, I got out my computer and with my one good hand, I typed my 400-page novel. This is who I am. So I think you just have to remain strong, try to face all the difficulties that you face in life, and find ways to get through them. And that's what I do. And that's what I do and try and just, even with my writing, if I write about difficult situations in my writing, my short stories, because I write in all genres now, they always have to have happy endings. But the people overcome things, and I show in my stories, how do you overcome a physical handicap or an educational handicap or whatever it might be. And that's how I educate people and motivate them.
Before we go to the, because we're down to about 8 minutes, before we go to the next question, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Okay, you can reach me on my website. It's called randydward.com, RANDIDWARD.com. Also, you can connect with me at randyteach@yahoo.com. That's RANDITEACH@yahoo.com.
Good. So in the next 8 minutes, I want you to tell me some of the hardest decisions you ever made and what would be the best advice you could give to others, and why is it important to have mentors, and then tell us what's coming up in the future. You have 8 minutes.
All right. The hardest decision professionally, of course, was going to Egypt, but I don't regret it. Personally, was telling my husband it was okay to leave and not suffer anymore. Okay. As far as advice for others, I'd like to read a poem that I wrote because I'm a poet, and just encourage people, this is what I do, look inside yourself to find out what you can see. Do you honestly see what you want to be? If not, there is no time to waste. You need to make some changes in haste. Everything in this world is open to you. You just must be willing to take a risk or two. It may not be so easy to do this at the start. It will require hard work and passion from your heart. Some people may try to stand in your way. You must be strong and tell them to go away. You must reach down inside to unearth your power. You must strive to climb to the top of your life tower. The climb may be slower than you hope or desire, but when you reach the top, your heart will feel the fire. So always move forward and never look back. Doing this will keep you progressing on the perfect track. And with that also, it's necessary, as I said earlier, to take risk. You must be willing to take to go out of your comfort zone. My mentor, of course, growing up was my mother. She was a teacher like me, admired teacher by all, and she became my role model of what a teacher was supposed to be. As an adult, my husband was my mentor. He taught me to believe in myself and dream bigger. I grew up as a very shy child, if you can believe that. Very smart, graduated valedictorian in my high school class, but didn't have a lot of confidence in myself because of my father, who was very vicious and cruel to me. So my husband taught me that I could be, that I was worthy of love, and I could do whatever I wanted, okay? Successful ladies I've met have become my mentors. They have become my role models, and they have taught me that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you learn from them. Okay, my thing is, of course, you know that I'm an animal activist. This is very important to me. And I'm still working on trying to save the animals in Africa. I've been on many game drives in Africa and it's like I'm like a child in a candy store. I just can't get enough of that. I'm also, as I said, a magazine editor for Chemo Buddies for Life and for Morocco Pens. Morocco Pens, by the way, is a magazine that we encourage non-native English speakers to write. I edit it, and we put it in our magazines for free so they become published authors. I'm also going to be, in the next few months, editor for All Women Rock Global Elite with our friend Carl Wilson, and I'm going to be an editor for From My Mama's Kitchen with my friend Johnny Tan. So I'm going to be a busy lady. I also hope to publish all of my books in the future and do more traveling. I want to start my own podcast or my own video platform where I highlight young people from around the world who are doing amazing things in their country but never get the recognition they deserve. So as you can see, I have a lot of things that I want to do.
Well, you're an absolutely amazing woman. So let's tell people again how they can reach you.
Okay, the best way is my email. It's randyteach, R-A-N-D-I-T-E-A-C-H, at yahoo.com. Or you can log into my website and leave a message there. It's randydward.com, R-A-N-D-I-W-A-R-D.com. Those are the best things. And by the way, I do have books on Amazon.com. I became an international bestseller with you, of course, in our book Quarantina Beyond with Ada Gartman, and I just recently became another bestseller with Global Achievers Volume 1. That just happened in the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to be in several anthologies this year also, besides publishing my own book.
Do you ever sleep?
Yeah. Yes, I do. But, in fact, sleeping is very important. I get my 7-8 hours of sleep. I can't function without it. I'm too old now to function without sleep. Even though I'm still 26 in my head, my body is 71, sometimes 171. But as long as I believe I'm 26, I can do anything. Isn't that right, Robbie?
Yeah, whatever you believe, you can achieve. I believe that. Well,
absolutely.
I can tell you, this has been so great. I have some friends from Egypt that I would love for you to meet. And do you know, we do have one of our members has gone to Africa on, she runs safaris to Africa all the time. So you need to really connect with her as well. I think you two have a lot in common. So I'll make the introduction to you to both of those people.
Sounds wonderful. I have many friends in Egypt too, but you can never have too many friends. I have 5,000 Facebook friends in 56 countries, by the way, and the average age is under 30. So I'm kind of like mama to the world, I think, sometimes. But I love it.
Like you said, every day is a new day learning, and I'm like you. I believe that we can learn something new every day, and it helps us to step out and to think differently and to add new things to our life. And you certainly added amazing things. You did an amazing job as a 37-year educator, but you didn't stop. You're still helping women and helping others and teaching and coaching, and so that's wonderful. And so I'm just so thrilled to get to know you better, and we will get to know each other even more. And when you get the novel ready, be sure to let me know and come back on the show so we can tell everybody about it.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be a member of your Global Society of Female Entrepreneurs, too. I just became a member of that, and that's an amazing organization that you're doing, Robbie.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Well, everybody, you've been listening to Dr. Randy Ward, and she is so amazing. Tell your friends to tune in and listen to all. If you think you've done some things, you got to see all the things she's done. She makes me feel like I haven't done enough, so I better get busy. So thank you, Dr. Randy Ward. It was amazing to have you and to learn more about you. And you have a fabulous day, okay?
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure. So much fun. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.